If we're really living for the Lord, the world's not going to get you. They're not going to get it. But we're not living according to that standard, to the rule of this fallen system of Antichrist, that which is in rebellion to the Word of God. We're not of that. So we're going to live out of Him and out of what is reality, out of what is true. And He is the truth. And His ways are the true ways. His path is the way that leads to life. And that path is Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We were saying a chorus years ago. It was simply, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. How many remember that one? Let's forget about ourselves. That's the part that's sometimes hard to do. But I've discovered that when I get my eyes off me, and I get them onto Jesus, and I make it my heart's aim, my heart's goal, my heart's desire to seek Him, to pursue Him, I'm never disappointed. Oh, how wonderful. How glorious. How beyond description, beyond words. He is our source. I heard some guy the other day on one of the channels talking about the source. The source. How many know it's not a it? It's a he. It's a person. Hallelujah. He is our source. He's our life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Lord, we want to just... I know there's not a person here that doesn't want to glorify Jesus. Lord, we're here because we want to learn of You. We want to receive of You. We want to be changed into Your likeness. And we want to be about, Lord, Your business. Our Father's business. It's time to get busy. To be busy. Not just in busyness in general, but busy listening to the voice of God, busy doing what He says. Ah, these words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that, and we believe that He is life. And what He says is life. Life-giving in the Word, the voice of our Father. God speaks, and it is established forever. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Psalms, it says that Your Word, You've placed Your Word above all Your name. Meaning the Word of God is also a word to Himself. He keeps His Word. You know that? God keeps His Word. If He decrees something, it is established. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, I'm coming again. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's time to look up, lift up our heads. Our redemption is drawing nigh. It's nearer than when we first believed. And we are those who believe to the saving of the soul, not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but those who believe. Those who believe will see the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only He can purify your heart. You can't purify your own heart. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. He must purify us and grant us His righteousness. It's the only thing that's acceptable is His righteousness. So Lord, here we are. Clothe us in Your righteousness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Hallelujah. You know, the best place to be is where God places you. Sometimes we think we have a great idea, and why don't we just do this or do that? We heard it from somebody or we saw it somewhere. And how many have ever stepped outside the will of God before? Because we thought we had a good idea and we didn't take the time to hear from God. In fact, we probably didn't even want God to tell us what he really thought about it, because we just thought it was such a good idea. And how many have ever been there where you thought maybe God would blow it if you told him or tried to ask him to get his view on something, like we're smarter than he is, you know? Boy, his ways are so much higher than our ways, but his ways always work. There we have it. This is the key to life, is to hear and obey his voice. Even if it means at times it's going to be uncomfortable to do so. Sometimes the will of God is not comfortable initially. But how many know that salvation initially wasn't comfortable? And the fact that we became aware of our dreaded sin, of our true condition, we became guilty before God. We were aware that we were sinners. We felt terrible. A godly sorrow overtook us. And all we wanted to do is get clean. God, have mercy on me. See, mercy is you and I not getting what we deserve. And grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. That's the difference between mercy and grace. So it's mercy that he didn't give us what we deserved. But it's his grace that even while we were yet in our sin, that Christ died for us. We need to remember that. Next time you feel like you've blown it or gone beyond God's mercy, all he does is wait for you to come back home. And I've discovered it's always better just to stay home. Stay home with God, right? With the Lord. I know what it's like to be out there outside of the realm that he's called me to abide in. And it's not pretty, as you know. And it's not the place that I desire to be. Why? Because I'm home with him. We are home with him because we're his people. So the only place you're going to find refuge is in him, in Christ. Amen? We're not going to find it in escaping to this place geographically or that place or, you know, this situation or that situation. We're constantly trying to get away sometimes. At least I've been guilty of that. How many know the best getaway is in him? He restores your soul. Amen. He takes us beside the still waters. We rest in the green pasture of his presence, and we can delight ourselves in him. He even prepares a banquet before us in the presence of our enemies. They can't even touch it. Amen. You don't have to wait to get to church. You just call on Jesus. Start worshiping Jesus. Open your mouth. The Bible says you need to take words with you. Why? Because words are our way of expressing our love, our life. Words are powerful. They're discovering what the Bible's already taught us, of course. They're constantly discovering new things that's already in the Word, you know. How that actually words have creative power. Words can become visible. Things that had been spoken by God are what we now see. There's a connection between what is seen and what is heard. Sound and sight are actually connected. So you create, even in your own atmosphere, in your own heart, in your own life, life or death, depending on what you want to lend yourself to what source you want to speak out of the old or out of the new. Out of the old man or out of Christ. And when we align ourselves with what God is saying, it's always life-giving and it will change the atmosphere of your life. Thanksgiving is amazingly powerful. If we can get a hold of this one principle tonight, really I want to just focus on, we know that it's Thanksgiving, you know, coming up on Thursday, the holiday, but how many know that God didn't expect us to be thankful once a year? But we should be thankful every day. Thanksgiving is powerful because there is a connection between thanksgiving and joy. So if you want to have joy in your life, you're going to have to start practicing thanksgiving. It doesn't come any other way. Because the opposite of giving thanks is what? Complaining. And God loves thanksgiving, but he hates complaining. Now, one of the feasts in Israel, the fall feast, one of the fall feasts is the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was also called Sukkot. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. It's actually Israel's Thanksgiving celebration, the Feast of Tabernacles. And on this feast, they were to make these temporary dwellings or booths. It's also called the Feast of Booths, which were to be a remembrance or reminder of the time that they wandered in the wilderness, and they had to live in temporary dwellings while they're on their way to the promised land. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a memorial of the wanderings in the wilderness and how God was their protector and God was their provider during that time. And usually they would make these booths out of palm and willow trees. Now, there was two ceremonies that were part of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot is the Jewish name for that. People would carry torches, I want you to hear this, and march around the temple. Then they would set these lights around the walls of the temple, indicating that Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. So the Jews, everything they were told to do, they were instructed to do, had purpose, had meaning. Even Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled that which was written of him. Why they did what they did in the old covenant, many of them did not understand, except God told them to do it this way. And what God was doing, he was showing them a type or shadow of the reality or the substance, which was Christ, who would come. And some are yet to be fulfilled in the second coming, as you know, and are gathering together to the Lord. So they would set these lights out around the temple. And another part of this ceremony was a priest, along with a multitude of people, would go down from the Temple Mount to the Pool of Siloam. Do you remember the Pool of Siloam? And draw water and ascend to the Temple Mount with the multitudes rejoicing. So the priest would go from the Temple Mount down to the Pool of Siloam. They would take water and ascend back to the Temple Mount with the people with rejoicing. So the Feast of Tabernacles was also known, I want you to hear this, as the Feast of Joy. So there is a direct correlation to thanksgiving and joy. And there is a saying that there was no rejoicing. In fact, he said, a Jew once said, "He who never saw the rejoicing of the place of drawing of water never saw any rejoicing in his life." There was such an explosion of joy in this celebration of the water drawing. Now, I want you to hear this, because what would happen is once they came back to the Temple Mount, the priest would pour the water out on the Temple Mount, and he would recite this verse from Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Are you ready for it? "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua." Yeshua is the name of Jesus, salvation, but it speaks of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. "With joy, Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast, the eighth day, that great day of the feast, and he declared," he says, "if anyone thirsts," it says that he spoke loudly, "if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. To them who believe on me, as the scripture says." He's saying, I'm the fulfillment of that. out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. He is the fulfillment. He is our joy. And then I want you to hear something else. After Jesus said this, the next morning, while the lights were still burning dimly around the temple, Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. Everything that Jesus did was in fulfillment of that which was written of him. So this tabernacle was also, it's the autumn, it's the harvest feast of ingathering, where they would basically, they would celebrate, you know, the harvest, how God had blessed them and provided for them. It was their thanksgiving. And they would bring the fruits of the harvest. And they'd give thanks to God for all his blessings. Why is this important? Why? Because, again, we need to learn something from this. If we want to know the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord, amen, is our strength, we've got to have joy to have strength. Hear that. How many have discovered that when you have joy, you have a strength? When God's joy, amen, is in you, you can go through anything. It doesn't mean you're always going to be smiling, but there's an inner joy. There's something that is greater than your situation. God in you is greater than any situation you're facing. But in order for you to be in the position to be able to deal with every situation that you're facing and going to face in this world, you have to understand how to receive this joy. How with joy draw water. Joy is an access, a way that you access the presence. That's why, and by Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we are to rejoice always. Rejoice evermore. It's very important. And all what? He said, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God. For you in Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody asked, what's the will of God? I can tell you, it's to give thanks, to be thankful, to have a grateful attitude, a grateful heart. A grateful heart, a thankful heart will produce praise. Praise will bring the presence, the glory of God into your situation, into your heart. Amen? Praise is a result of thanksgiving. When somebody does something good to you, you out of gratitude, you say, thank you. Well, bless your heart. Amen. When God touches us, he does something good for us. We say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. There's a connection between thanksgiving and the true joy of the Lord. Oh. Grumbling and complaining is the opposite. Someone once said, complaining is to rebel against the sovereignty of God. Think about that. Do we really believe that God is on the throne, that God is good and that God's got it all worked out? How many know that even the very hairs of our head are numbered, right? The sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing it. He knows all about what you're going through. He's bigger than that. I like what Paul said this morning. He says, God is bigger than that. You know, whatever we face in this life, we need to have that attitude. God, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than that situation. God, you're bigger than anything. You're bigger than sickness. You're bigger than disease. And you're certainly bigger than the boogeyman. Amen. Bigger than the devil. Great big God, little tiny devil. Sometimes people with their own mouth, they're magnifying the devil. The devil this, the devil that. Forget the devil. Give praise to God instead. Get it. You'll get rid of the devil. You start praising God. Trying to encourage us to take that risk, that step over that line to open up. Amen. And begin to audibly praise, bless the Lord. You will shift the atmosphere in your heart and in your environment by praise. That's why the atmosphere is so beautiful in here tonight. It's because we have been praising the Lord. Amen? In this place. We open our mouths and we give praise to God. The same thing is true when God speaks. He speaks life. He sings over us, the Bible says. Songs of deliverance. Our God gave us speech. We were made in His image, just like He speaks and His words are creative. So our words are creative. They're either going to build or they're going to destroy. If we lend ourselves to the wrong words and we're speaking the wrong things over our lives, that's the fruit, because the Bible says power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. And those who love it will eat its fruit thereof. So we want to be very careful that we're lending ourselves to thanksgiving and not to complaining. We all got things we could complain about, but it's not wise to complain. And you know, it's good out of love that we would hold one another accountable to that. Amen. If somebody comes up to you and they just start complaining, say, why don't you try praising the Lord instead? I worked with a guy that used to torture me with that. He would ruin a good pity party. But he loved me enough to be straight with me and tell me the truth. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to turn there in your Bibles tonight, verse 1. This is speaking of the situation where they were in the wilderness and they got into the grumbling thing. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. It sounds like God was taking pretty good care of them. It sounds like they had everything that they needed. Maybe not what they wanted, but they had everything that they needed. How many know that the baptism in the cloud speaks of the Holy Spirit's baptism? Amen? And the baptism in the sea speaks of water baptism. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. What was that? Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This was all speaking of Christ that followed them. And with most of them, though, oh boy, most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, why was this written down? These things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. How many know that God doesn't like sexual immorality? Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. They were eating the fruit of their own actions, of their own works. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. They were written down for us to learn from, that we might be wise and learn from the mistakes of others, that we would not repeat the same folly. Verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you. Amen. Except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, in Numbers chapter 14, if you would turn there, and verse 2, this is speaking of the situation. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. But here, we see that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them. It says in here, it says in verse chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, that with many of them, or most of them, it says in verse 5, God was not well pleased. And so there was a remnant who were not given in to what the crowd was doing. Are you with me? Too many Christians do what the crowd does. Even in the Christian community, if most Christians do this, then we do that. Well, sometimes most Christians could be in error. Come on. I believe there is a lot of error in the church today, and we got to know what we know and know what we believe and what God is really saying. Amen. And not just repeating something because somebody said it from a pulpit somewhere. How many know we need to know what the Word of God says ourselves? And we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to, Lord, show me what is true and protect me from deception, because we are living in times of great deception today. There is a wide road. There is a way that seems right to a man, you know, but in the end is the way of death. And people, sometimes we hear something and we repeat it and we don't even check it out. So let's be careful who we're listening to. What happened here in verse 2 of Numbers 14? All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Those poor guys. They were only the paper boys, but they're the ones that were in the spotlight. You know, that's what it's like to be a leader, especially today, right? You're just a target. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" Now they're blaming God, "that our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Now they've got a better idea than God. "We don't like the one you picked, God, so we're going to choose our own leader. We don't like the candidate that you chose, and so we're going to pick the one of our own choosing." Then Moses and Aaron, what did they do? They said, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" No, it says that they fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They humbled themselves before God and the people. But Joshua, come on, listen, we need more Joshuas and we need more Calebs, right? The son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. That was a sign of repentance. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land." Why is it an exceeding good land? Because God only gives the best. God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. It was an exceeding good land. But they could not see the good in the land. All they could see was the giants. Remember, they came back with an evil report and said, "Oh, there are giants in the land." God told them, "I'm giving you this land. Every place the sole of your feet trods. And I want you to kick these people out." How many know that in type, these things resemble demonic hordes or forces that are in opposition to us? Amen. It can also represent sin in our own lives, and we need to deal with it. We need to put to death the deeds of the body. Amen. The old man, put it to death. You need to kick them out. Say, "Speak to the hand, devil. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm going to take my orders from him. I ain't listening to you anymore." Starve that old dude to death. Starve him out. Give no place to the devil. So here's the attitude of Joshua and Caleb. And they said, "It's an exceeding good land." Now verse 8, "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." Many ever heard the term, "I'm going to have you for lunch." That's what they're saying. They said, "We're going to have them for lunch." Why? Because these two men believed God. They believed his word. They were willing to put their life on the line for what God had said. They didn't just say, I believe it. They acted upon what they believed. And they began to declare what God had already said. I'm giving you this land. And it is a land. I mean, you know that God was separating, I believe, in that situation. Why did he tell them to go out and spout the land? God already knew it was in the land. He was going to separate those who were going to be his and his remnant, who were going to possess it, from those who were in unbelief. Those who didn't trust in the Lord, from those who did. There was a separation that was going to take place. And it was evident also through the fact that they complained. And they said it would be better if we died in Egypt. It'd be better if we died in this wilderness. Why did God take us out here to do this? Have you ever found yourself in a trial, a real trial, where things don't make sense? You can't make heads or tails about it. You've prayed. Nothing seems to be changing in your life. And all of a sudden you start hearing that other voice saying, blame God. It's because God is not good. It's because God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. See, sometimes we're tested. God wants to promote and advance every one of us here. But that always comes through testing. And we heard the saying, new level, new devil. So when you face something, look at it from the perspective of an eagle who's looking down at it, amen, and saying, okay, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to navigate through this one? How are we going to get through this one? Amen. He said, when you go through the waters, I'd be with you. We don't want to look at it from the perspective of a chicken in the barnyard. Amen. Pimping around. Picking at each other. Wallowing in the poop. We got to get over the chicken mentality and we got to rise up above it. Amen. On wings as eagles. So we have an eagle eye view from the heavenly realms, from God sitting with Jesus in the heavenly places and say, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this one? How are we going to work this one out together? Amen. Come on, rather than say, oh, because if you're down in the drama, if you're down in that place, you can't see clearly. You need to come up higher. You need to get an eagle's view of it, and you need to worship. You need to worship and draw near to God and rise up with him on wings as eagles. This is a place in the spirit. It's called the secret place of the Most High. Oh, the secret place of the Most High. Where now I have a different perspective. How many know that Joshua and Caleb had a different perspective? They saw that this was a land that was good. They weren't looking at the giants. He said, they're our bread. God is with us. God is greater. Amen. God is bigger. If God promised us this land, then you better believe we can take the land. If God has promised his people deliverance and freedom. Amen. Not to be bound by addictions, not to be bound by anything in this world. God has already promised us that freedom. That freedom is in him. We have to change our perspective. Because if we're looking at it down at this level, it's all so great, so big, so impossible. But when you walk in those heavenly realms, you worship and you draw near to God. You pour your heart out. You cry out to God and let him lift you up. And then you're going to see things differently. And you're going to say, you know what? This problem used to be so big. Now it's just this little tiny thing. It's just nothing. Was that what I was so distraught about? Come on. How many have realized that? How many have been in that place where it just seems like everything is just piling up? It's so impossible. And you just get to have a time with Jesus. And all of a sudden you're saying, now what was I so stressed over? See, we've got to stay. We have to abide in him. So that we have heaven's perspective on the situation you're facing. Understanding that God allows you to be tested so that he might promote you and advance you in his kingdom and give you a greater level of his authority for effectiveness and bearing fruit and in reaching the lost. Amen? So during this feast of tabernacles, God instructed the people. He told them, on this day, you are to be altogether joyful. Now remember, this was their Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving produces praise. How many know that praise? Amen? And I heard somebody say this, but joy is peace dancing. Peace dancing. I mean, sometimes you know what I'm talking about. We get so joyful, I literally start to dance. I can't dance, but I do anyways. I don't care. I get happy. You know, I used to get smashed in the world. I used to get drunk in the world. I don't need that cheap stuff anymore. I'm drinking the new wine now. I'm happy in Jesus. He satisfies me. He rejoices my heart. I don't need the cheap counterfeits anymore. You see, because Israel was wandering internally, they wandered externally. They were straying inside, and the same thing is true. When we wander internally, we will wander externally. I mean, it all begins with the mind and the thoughts and then the heart. And then the life follows. If we don't change our thinking and change our attitudes and start to get into a place of gratitude instead of complaining, then the opposite will happen. Complaining produces more complaining. Amen? To where we're now disgruntled and we can't find anything good about anything. And you ever been there? One leads to another. Complaining has never helped. We all say that, we all know that, but we got to practice this. When we get to that place, we need to say, what do I need to do? I need to look at it from the eagle's perspective. I need to look at it from God's perspective and know that God is allowing this in my life because He wants to do me good in the end. God is allowing this in my life because He wants to advance me. He wants to promote me. Before a promotion, there comes a test. So my perspective is now when things happen, it's like, okay, God, something good is going to happen as a result of this. It's not good. Not everything that happens to us is good. But God promises in Romans 8:28 to work all things what? Together for good. So He will produce good out of whatever bad happens. And how many know that suffering can be good for you? How many ever heard the saying, no pain, no gain? And we say that if we're working out, doing something physical, but, you know, it's true in the spirit. There are times that we're going to experience the pain, but it's the conditioning of the Lord. It's the conditioning of the spirit. He's conditioning our spirit, man. He's developing us internally. He's making us people of character, people who will live in integrity. Are you with me? People who will be able to control their tempers. People that will have great patience. Patient endurance to endure anything that comes our way. People may be falling around you. But if you are steadfast in Him, if you've been conditioned and strengthened by the Spirit in the inward man, then you can stand up and you can be a light. You can be an example that others will look at your life and say, I want what you have. I don't know what it is, but I need what you have. Oh, hallelujah. And we can tell them, listen, it ain't anything that really I have, except I have Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about what He's done in my life. It's about His grace working in me. You know, I can't do what I do except by the grace of God. You can't be who you are in Christ except by the grace of God. So we need to come to Him and we need to drink. Amen. We need to come to Jesus and drink. And out of our innermost being, our spirit will flow. How many know you are what you eat? You are what you drink. If you're drinking of Him and eating of Him, that's what's going to be presented. Amen? That's what's going to manifest. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving, listen, causes your joy to multiply. I'm going to say it again. Thanksgiving causes your joy to multiply. We have the right perspective. We start lending this thing right here to audibly start speaking the right things. We need to stop saying the wrong things and start saying the right things. We need to say what God is saying and quit listening to that other voice that says you can't, you ain't, you won't. You're nothing. You're a loser. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're this, you're that. We got to quit listening to that voice and we start speaking life and blessing and peace and joy. Amen? Build one another. Speak what God is speaking into the lives of others. I have to pray and say, God, give me the words to speak. I don't know what to say. It's impossible for me to stand up here week after week and message after message unless God is speaking to me. How many know that's true? I could put something canned together, something fabricated together, but it could be void of life because the only thing that's going to produce life is what God is saying. We need to hear from Him. How many know that God is speaking to us tonight? See, I'm able, just like you are, to preach the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. We're in Him, we have the Holy Spirit, and God speaks through us. Yes, we're imperfect vessels, but He's a perfect God. You want your joy to multiply, start thanking God. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for your friends. Thank Him for your health. There's always something we can be thankful for. Thank God that we have food and clothing. Amen. And I remember Claudia saying, my smile. And God healed her of a stroke. She said, God, I want my smile back. She kept saying it. Went by the mirror, looked, and her face was drooping. There's a picture of her out there. And God healed her. Gave her back her smile, and she said, ah, thank God. And she's been testifying, thank God for my smile. And she should be back very soon, by the way, from the Philippines. Thank God for my spouse. I thank God for my wife. Our salvation most of all. Thank God for our children. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. This is instruction to you and I. We hear this. Therefore, by Him, by the Lord, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. How many know that praise is audible? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying because it'll help us if we get this. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to His name. Thanksgiving. Now in Proverbs 15 and 15 it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Again, it's perspective. Is it half full or half empty? See, the world has been teaching this stuff like man thought it up, you know. But some of the stuff is right out of the scriptures. And they're right about some of this. The only problem is they think they're the source. Or the source. Instead of He as being the source. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. In other words, another translation says the downcast. They look down on everything. Everything's broken. How are you doing today? Oh, not good at all. We just had that happen today. I says, well, why wasn't everything so bad? I mean, you know, a lot of times, folks, we're talking ourselves into the situation we're in. Because words are creative. Words are powerful. How many have been hurt by words? How many have been helped by words? So there is power in what we speak. Oh, hallelujah. You and I can change the atmosphere of our life if we practice thanksgiving. every day. Now, someone once said, are you hearing this? If you look inwardly, you get depressed. If you look outwardly, you get distressed. If you look upwardly, you get refreshed. How many have found that to be true? See, people are trying to find the answers within. I heard some lady the other day was talking to an Indian lady saying, I'm my own guru. I'm it. I'm all of it, you know. I say, no, you're deceived. Your problem is the problem that we all have. Apart from Christ, we're separated, we're lost. Our heart is desperately wicked. And only the Lord can fix that. We need to turn to the only one who is the only answer for the world. Who is the only way, the only truth, the only life. It's only through the blood and no other way, through Jesus. But you can change your atmosphere if you change your practices, you know, by giving thanksgiving. Joy will come your way if you do that. How many here said, I could use more joy? Yes. Start practicing this, folks. Let's just get our mind, or get our mouth out of the gutter. Get in, amen. Get into the Word of God. Get into the presence of the Lord. And let Him, you know, refresh you. Let Him restore you. Let Him lift you up to a place where you have proper perspective on your situation. You know, these things that happen to us are good for us if we will turn to the Lord. God wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to look to Him. He doesn't want to lose us. Sometimes He lets things happen that usually we got ourselves into. Why? So that we will learn a lesson that apart from Him, there is no life. There is no life apart from Him. You know, I've said this before, but what is life apart from Jesus? Work all your life, if you're fortunate enough to have a job. You know, slave away, buy all the toys, get the boat, get the nice car, get the house, and then die. Like the bumper sticker that said, he who has the most toys wins. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven, amen? There's only one way, and that's the way of the cross, through Jesus. See, the joy of the Lord is what sustains you. It's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. How can people in the Philippines who have so little, they have one chicken a week, and the missionaries come over there, and they give them that chicken. You can have our chicken. And they're happy in Jesus. They're rejoicing in the Lord. Their cup is overflowing with the joy of the Lord. And over here in America, we take more drugs than anyone else in the world. We got more stuff and more drugs. More depression than anywhere else in the world, except Japan, I think, is pretty high. And they're just as materialistic as we are, if not worse. We're not going to find it in stuff. We're not going to find it in everything in my environment to be just so. The only place you're going to find real joy is Him who is joy. That's why I just love to praise the Lord. That's why I love to give thanks to the Lord, because it produces that joy. Thanksgiving produces praise that brings His presence, that releases joy, that strengthens you, that lifts you up to give an eagle's eye perspective so that you can see clearly the way that you should walk. And the Lord is always going to make a way. Always He's got a way. He wants us to hear Him, hear His voice, do what He says. Oh, in Isaiah 12 and verse 1, I want you to hear this promise. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise You. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Does that sound like anybody here tonight? This is speaking of national deliverance when the Messiah comes, but it's also speaking of those of us who are in Messiah now. He says, your anger is turned away, and now you comfort me. Has anybody received the comfort of the Lord? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, Yeshua. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. It's right here in the word. O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Cry out and shout, for great is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in our midst. Ha. There was explosions of praise, amen, today, as the Lord just shows up and, oh, la yamoku salaku shama, we bless and praise you and magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Did I just speak in tongues without an interpretation? Oh, maybe somebody has the interpretation. You know what? You'll never know if there's an interpretation unless somebody speaks it out. So there's usually the people that are criticized, that are so critical about that, they don't have any tongues. Because they think, well, I'm an interpreter. Watch out for the people that are interpreters. Why? It's not as you will, it's as God wills. The gifts are not as you will, it's when he decides to use you. In whatever application it needs to be, amen? Well, I'm a prophet. When you start boasting about a gift, you're arrogant, you're proud. Amen? When you're consumed with your title, it's about you and not Jesus. We're here to make him famous. You see, I don't want to lose grace. I want to keep myself in the right perspective too. God does use me and I rejoice in that. And so do you. But we need to understand he's the source. It's of him and not of us. But we get to be a part of it. God allows us to be a part of it. He chooses you and I, human beings, yeah, frail, faulty human beings, to do his will in this earth. And that gives me hope. Amen? It gives all of us hope here because he's not looking for perfect vessels. If so, nobody would qualify except one. But he's already overcome for us. Hallelujah. And if we love Jesus, we do what he says. Amen. It's not a legalistic righteousness of I do or I don't. If I don't, this is what's going to happen. It's like, I don't want to hurt the Lord, so I don't do the things to grieve him. But I will do the things that please him. And I know the Lord is pleased tonight. Do you sense that? Now, in Hosea chapter 14 in verse 2, it says this. I want you to hear this. Everybody, just repeat after me, would you please? Say, take words with you and return to the Lord. This is Hosea 14:2. Let's say it again. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Remember that. We need, when we come before God, according to Psalms 100, we come before him with singing. Amen? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We need to take words with us, and we need to start articulating whatever it is that God's placed in your heart. He's given you something, and he's just saying, I want you to take the step now. And I want you, in the presence of others, in the presence of people, like David said, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing to thee, Lord, among the people. I will give praise to thee among the people. There was something that was released in him when he would do that. It kept also him in the perspective and humility. Amen? Sometimes it's our pride that gets in the way. What will people think? I was one of those kids that, when I was in school, if the teacher called my name, I went into cardiac arrest. I even had an interpreter when I was a kid, my brother, Bruce. Isn't that right, Keith? And I look at Bruce, and Bruce said, Keith says yes. He's my older brother by a year and a half. And so when I got called on in school, it was like terrifying to me. And I especially if I had to go up to the board. Oh, that was torture. But you know what? God has so set me free. But you know what I had to do is I had to do the opposite of what I might have been naturally inclined to do. I want you to hear this. You need to do the opposite of what you naturally would be inclined to do. You see, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So God is going to tell you to give him praise audibly, even in front of people. But there's going to be a battle. Your flesh is going to say, don't do that. Any part that would tell you not to praise God, I want you to hear this, needs to be put to death. That's the flesh. That is the flesh. That's how you can identify it. Now, this is the thing. Is, again, we've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I say we because the Lord's helping me. But what's normal to God is going to be abnormal to people that are not in God, in the Lord. So we are not to allow the standard of the world that says, oh, you're nutty. Because they don't get it. They don't understand. Why do these people get all excited and shout and praise and dance and do all those funny things? Why? Because they're just in love with Jesus. And because they've discovered a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. So we're not going to allow the standard of what even CNN or Fox tells us, amen, is this is, or Hollywood. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you're supposed to dress like. This is the way you're supposed to act. This is the way you're supposed to talk. Come on, we don't get our philosophies from Hollywood, amen? We live by the truth. If God says to shout, we shout. If God says to praise, we praise. If God says be quiet, we be quiet. Sometimes we need to be quiet too. There's a time to shout and there's a time to be quiet. But I've discovered that when I do the opposite, and especially when the Lord is pressing you to do it, you're like, okay. All right, not right now. Don't quit bothering me. Come on, the Spirit is saying, I want to set you free, but it's not going to happen until you open up the door. You open up the gate. You see, there's water sometimes that's just boiling up inside you and me. It's like a volcano. It's starting to just build up inside. I may have felt that. But then there's a disconnect between what's happening here and what's happening here and what's happening here. And we're not allowing that to be released out of us. And that's what is called quenching the Spirit or shutting off the flow of the Spirit. So when God is moving in you to give praise, even among people, audibly, how many know it's a good idea to do it? Because once you open the gate, then he's going to release that living water out of you. God's going to tell you to speak to people, to speak into their lives. And you may be saying that battle's going to go on. One party's going to say, don't do it. And the other part saying, listen to what he says. Are you with me? And we lend ourselves to speak for the Lord. We open the mouth, open the gate. And then he will release that, amen, that revelation or that word, that truth, to impart to the hearer. God would never tell us to do something without having purpose in it. So open up the gates. Open up the praise gates. Start stepping out. Starve out that part of you that's saying don't do it. You'll look foolish. Come on, how many here beside myself have been a fool in the world, been a fool for the devil? I really don't care now if the world calls me a fool. Because I know where true wisdom comes from. The Lord is true wisdom. And his ways are not the ways of the world. So God's ways are to give thanks, to give praise. Amen? so that we might receive joy and strength in that joy. That we will be established, that we will be able to stand. Just let it come up. Baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit without giving praise to God? Ever spoken tongues without giving praise to God? No. You got to open up and you got to lend yourself to praise Him. And then God will release the gifts, amen, through you, whether it's prophecy or tongues or the demonstration gifts. How many are going to resolve tonight that I'm going to take the eagle eye perspective? I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to stop talking death. I'm going to start speaking life. I'm going to start being grateful about everything. I don't care what's happening in my world. I'm going to find what's good. And I'm going to give thanks for that. You remember the old saying that I quit complaining about having no shoes when I saw a man with no legs. But thanksgiving is the way to joy. Complaining is the way to despair and hopelessness and a loss of God's favor. They didn't enter into the land because of their attitude. But God saw a different spirit in Joshua and Caleb. They said, we are well able to take the land, and it is a good land. And he said, in these giants you talked about, there are bread. We're going to have them for lunch. Are you kidding? God is with us. Who are these who stand in our way? What is this addiction to stand in my way when my God is for me? And my God is much bigger than that addiction. Change your perspective. Start giving thanks, giving praise. Get up, amen, into the heavenly realms. And you'll see things from a different perspective. You'll soar on wings as eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalms 103, verse 1. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, His good treatment. Psalms 95, 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. And we'll call upon the name of the Lord. Psalms 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Give thanks. Give thanks.